Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to the website, missionmatters.com, and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today I have Philip Emmons on the line, and he's a founder and CEO of Crucio App Concepts. Philip, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Adam. I appreciate your time.
All right. So for our audience that have been watching us for a long time, you know that these are some of my favorite episodes. This is where, first off, we'll announce that Philip has been selected to be one of the authors in one of our upcoming business leaders books. So really excited to publish his work and really to tell his story. And we'll get into that, by the way. And we'll also learn more about Crucio App Concepts as well. But before we do, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all, with our Mission Matters Minute. So, Philip, we at Mission Matters amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Philip, what mission matters to you?
The mission that matters to me is actually honesty and reliability and development. I think that's something that's direly needed, and that's where we try to focus.
It's awesome. Love bringing mission-based individuals and entrepreneurs on the line to share why they do what they do, like how they do it, and more importantly, how they're adding value to the marketplace, which you certainly are. So maybe just let's start from the beginning. Like, where did all this begin for you? Like, how'd you get on the road to Crucio App Concepts as an entrepreneur?
So actually, I started about 15 years ago, roughly. Essentially, I was a client, and I wanted to develop my own application and game. And got into it. And what basically happened was I hired an individual to do some work for me. Turns out he was just kind of stringing me along, wasted my time, then ghosted me and couldn't do anything about it. Then I hired a company, both from overseas. And, the company had better project management, they talked to me better. Everything was going decent that I thought. About 9 months later, they delivered a piece of code claiming that it was basically done. And it turns out that it was very simply just a piece of code that they purchased online. They didn't do anything with it. And, you know, when it comes to development, it's like a contract work. You prepay some up front. You know, after that, I was frustrated. I was out, you know, about a year and a half of time. I was out, you know, a lot of money. And then I decided, you know, I'm going to figure out how to do this myself and start hiring my own people, you know, and vetting people out. And when I did, I learned so much about the industry and how it worked, how my estimate on the cost was way off. I was that standard typical client. And after the experiences, I realized that this happens constantly. Mm. You know, we actually do about 50% of our projects are what we call rescue projects. And rescue projects are just that, taking something that has started and somebody either ghosted or left, and we try to pick up the pieces and help the person move on. There's a lot of small businesses, a lot of small clients that even medium-sized businesses that have this kind of issue and don't know where to turn after that. So that's something that we come in and we try and take care of.
It's awesome. And I know a lot of the people watching this, unfortunately, have experienced or at least heard of similar horror stories. I love when a business starts, because you're solving really an issue or a problem for yourself, right? And then you find a way to be you've been blessed now, you solved the problem, and now you find a way to be a blessing and help solve other people's problems. I mean, when I think about like Mission Matters and how we've grown, like that's been our motto, everything from the podcast agency to the Facebook agency, like everything we do was based off of feedback. So, and originally trying to solve problems for ourselves, which was how do we distribute content? How do we reach a larger audience? All of these things. So awesome. At what point was it, did you decide like, this is the business I want to be in? If there was a point or it was a progression, like how did that part happen? Because a lot of people solve problems for themselves. They do something. They don't necessarily go full scale launching a business. Like how did that happen?
Probably about 3 to 6 months of research after the event happened. I came across the objective of understanding that my budget wasn't big enough for my project, that I needed to expand that out. And then I tried to figure out how was I going to build my budget in order to get the things that I wanted to create done. And because I had already had so much interest in understanding in that field, I decided to take a couple of project management jobs. Mm-hmm. And so I worked for about a year with 6 months with a company in Canada, 6 months with a company in Australia, both major company names as project manager for them. And I realized something. They charge, you know, $125 to $250 an hour. And that's the standard development rate, but they're still using offshore development teams. So it is literally price gouging. And that is definitely something that I was completely averse to. So I decided, you know, I decided there's no better way to build my game than to continue to look for the talent, look for the people that I understood. I've interviewed thousands of people, sifting through the resumes, sifting through the portfolios, figuring out all of those pieces. But after the time I spent with those major companies, I had a really good understanding. And so I started hiring my own team and taking on client projects to fund my internal projects.
Wow. Love it. So this thing kind of grew grassroots. It sounds to me like, you know, one brick at a time, right? To build that wall. So it's a great story. Let's shift slightly here. So I do want to talk about the upcoming book that you'll be an author in. What is your inspiration and what type of writing do you want to bring to the book and to the work? What kind of themes do you want to cover? And for the audience, we won't get into all of it today. Just to let you know, we will be bringing Philip back on the show after the book is launched and we'll do a deep dive into his writing. But I do want to give you just a little taste, a little flavor of what Philip's going to bring to the table.
So basically, my goal with this is to let people understand and make people aware of the pitfalls of trying to do everything yourself, because that was something that I came across. It's been a good 13 to 14 years since I started, and those games that I wanted to make are still at about 80% because I continuously build on them. Wow. And I realize that a lot of people try to do these things themselves internally. What they don't realize is that there's multiple different ways of developing, such as offshore, and then you have onshore. But there's something that people don't realize is that there is such a thing as nearshore development. Mm-hmm. And nearshore development is very simply having U.S. responsibility and management with an offshore team that's dedicated, that can actually provide the security and the completeness of the project that's required. So I do a lot of consulting for small businesses, medium businesses, and with that, you know, I'm able to show the benefits of simply having a nearshore, you know, dedicated project manager that can handle all of those individual pieces. You know, there's graphics, there's the UI UX design, there's wireframing, there's front end, back end. There's so many different pieces when it comes to development specifically. But it's the same as, you know, as if you did it, you know, for building a house. Mm-hmm. Your general contractor is doing the exact same thing. You're hiring that one person to handle all of those different people, and any other development project should be very similar.
Yeah. So one of the things that I know that you specialize in is full spectrum development. Like, what does that mean for the audience maybe who haven't heard that term?
Yeah, full spectrum development is something that that I've kind of tried to coin to mean the taking of a project from brainstorming and conception all the way through all of the phases, graphics, development, publication, and marketing to the very end. So full spectrum being that one company can handle the entire piece with a single point of contact that you as a client only has to work with. It makes things so much easier for you to get, you know, for clients to get things out and get things developed where you're only dealing with that one person. Mm. And as long as you're being updated, you know how things are going, then it works out very, very well. And it's extraordinarily cheaper than working your own internal team that you have to consistently pay salaries on, and you have to consistently keep working and make sure their timelines are right. So it frees up you to do things that your business is designed to do and let somebody else be the main focus of the entire project that you're looking at.
So you mentioned that a lot of the work that you and your team do are really saving and progressing, or rescue missions, I believe you said something along that lines, and really helping other projects that for whatever reason aren't moving forward. While I don't like to, you know, focus too much on the negative side of things, I mean, there's entrepreneurs out there that need to hear this, so that if they're going in or they're kind of going down that same path, that they maybe can start making some different choices. So like, what are some of the things that you've seen that really holds a project back from taking it really from that idea that you mentioned of taking it from concept to reality? Like, what are some of those pitfalls in making that happen?
Oh, sure. There's a couple of different things that are what we consider to be red flags, for example. You know, some of the businesses that I do consulting with, you know, I'll come in just to ensure that the current development team they're working with is on track and doing what they're supposed to be doing. Because there's nothing worse than being strung along, as I was in the very beginning, and thinking everything is going well. And then whenever it's time for you to launch, you get this huge, huge wake up call that nothing was actually
that
what
hurts.
It was seen. Yeah. So that's usually, that's usually the first thing that I work with, is letting clients understand, you know, where they are. If I'm doing consulting, I check the timeframes of turnaround times of conversations, emails, what kind of grouping they have for, you know, communication for the entire team, you know, how they're doing the back end, the code. There's so many different pieces that go into it. And that's what, you know, I handle as a consultant for these clients that are just trying to regulate their development teams, even internal teams. But at the same time, we have one client, for example, that we took on and was such a short time frame that things had to be done. And the development team had already wasted a full month just going back and forth, really for no reason whatsoever. They didn't have documentation ready. And, you know, this client was doing a major conference within 3 months. And there's nothing worse than being in a physical conference and having nothing to show. You've already spent so much money on it. So, you know, I made it very clear that these are the red flags I see. These are the things that are happening. If you want to get this done, it's going to take specialists, and it's going to take, you know, it's going to take time to get it done. And I said, I can help you find somebody, or I can do it. But somebody's got to get this off their plate, because they're not capable.
Yeah.
And so luckily, you know, with all the 15 plus red flags that we went through, we were able to take it over, and we turned a 9 month project into a 3 month project. And
wow,
I was
amazing.
Standing, you know, I was standing next to him at the conference, you know, talking to clients and his team. So it worked really well. And we're still working on that project right now. It's going to be a national project when we're done. And it's overall about a year and a half to 2 year project that we're doing in about 6 months with all senior developers. So there's very specific circumstances for every client. And we cater to all of those. We work to cater to individual clients.
So speaking of red flags, now, obviously, I want at the end of this, I'll give you an opportunity to leave your contact information, and anybody that's interested, they can obviously go over and check out your team over at Crucial App Concepts. But speaking of red flags, let's just say that there's some people watching this that are in the process of choosing a developer, or just kind of like dipping their toe in the water on their next big project. What are some of the things that they should consider before they hire somebody?
Well, some of the things you should consider is you definitely need to get references like you would with a resume. The difference here is, if just because you're getting references, you know, you need to actually call them. Take the real time to vet these people out. You know, check on their portfolio. Ensure that their portfolio is theirs. I interviewed a developer that literally was using one of my projects in his portfolio.
Oh, come on.
You can't make it up. You know, and the problem being is that there's some simple ways that you can understand what they're doing. For example, I just started asking him about that project. You know, explain to me what happened. What was the project about? How did it work? Can you show me any internal images or pictures? These are the simple things that anybody working on a project would be able to pull up immediately. And of course, he wasn't. So it was very easy to vet him out. But a lot of other people they reuse portfolios constantly. And so you really need to vet them. You know, make sure you talk to the references.
Yeah, and it makes total sense. And what you just now said, I mean, that's, you know, with or without, you know, a huge background in development, obviously they can work with you as well. And you do the consulting part as well. But it doesn't sound like you have to have a huge background to say, hey, can you, those simple questions that you mentioned. So can you give me some references? like, and actually calling them and just having, because I feel like you call somebody and they're either happy, they're not, they're indifferent, like everything is going to give you information, but without making that call, you really don't know. Right. And if you don't really know there, then you could find yourself in a situation, one of those horror stories that you mentioned, you know, 6-9 months or, you know, down the line and not having what you thought you were going to have.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's very disheartening. And then, you know, where do you go from there? And that's where I try to come in and rescue these people to help get it back off the ground. You know, the last thing I want to see is a good project fail because someone took advantage of it.
So tell us a little bit more about the types of projects that you and your team work on. So is this mobile apps, of course, what else?
So we're actually, because we're a full spectrum development team, we actually do the majority of tech projects. So we're ranging from websites, mobile applications, that's iOS, Android tablets, as well as, you know, Amazon, you know, their store is not really out there anymore. So it's kind of faded away. But you do have Microsoft Store. You've got, you know, consoles. You've got the computer software, you know, situation, as well as enterprise server work. So we've actually done, you know, several large projects, some with Station Casinos in Las Vegas, as well as Philip Morris International. We've done a few major projects that required us to get into the security piece where we can actually integrate into their enterprise backend system. And, you know, the casinos was definitely one of the hardest to get into. It took about 9 months to get clearance, almost harder than the government. So, but it's, you know, it's something we can absolutely do. It's just every client requires very specific, and we cater to each client individually.
It's great. So I have to ask you, Philip, I mean, a lot on your plate, a lot of project management, working with a lot of clients and getting projects done. But what's next? I mean, what's next for you? What's next for Crucial Concept Apps?
So basically what I'm looking to do is I like to do what I'm continuing to do. I don't really want to change what I'm doing. I like the consultations. I like to be able to help these people. You know, we do have a couple of things that we're working on in the background. For example, we are working to put together a gaming group having to do with charitable donations, and it's going to cater specifically only to developers that have charitable donations in their games. We also do our own internal games in which we'll be releasing a good suite of about 10 to 15 games over the course of the next 2 months or so. And yeah, so that's essentially what I've been trying to get to all along. But, you know, there's so many projects and so many things out there. But I myself don't do any development. I keep myself available for all client communications, consultations, text messages, phone calls, emails. I have to keep myself away so that I can actively watch over the full spectrum of everything.
Yeah. Makes sense. You're really safeguarding your clients' projects and making sure that, again, from concept to reality, making sure that that happens in the timeline expected. So awesome. I mean, great story. I'm really excited to publish your work and really to get the word out there about you and your team, because I feel like there's a lot of entrepreneurs that can benefit. Speaking of you and your team, if somebody is watching this or listening to this and they want to connect with Crucial App Concepts, I mean, what's the best way for them to do that?
For Crucial App Concepts, we're on Facebook as well as our website. You can go to crucialappconcepts.com or crucialapps.io. Either one of those would work well. And we have a contact us. It's very easy to reach out. And I even put my cell phone on there. So feel free to text anytime you need.
It's awesome. And for everybody watching this, just to let you know, we'll put all that information in the show notes so that you can just click on it and head right on over and check out Philip and his team. And I know we went pretty deep today into Philip's business. We will go further when we bring Philip back onto the show on his writing, his ideas, his concepts, and really how he and his team are helping entrepreneurs. So if this is your first time with Mission Matters, just to let you know, we're a platform that's all about bringing on entrepreneurs, executives, and experts and having them share why they do what they do, like what gets them excited and motivated to go out there in the marketplace and to make a difference. If that's the type of content that is interesting or fun or sounds engaging to you, then we welcome you to hit that subscribe button, because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Philip, again, congrats on being chosen to be an author in one of our upcoming books. And I look forward to our next interview and the next time we meet. So thank you.
Adam, thank you so much. I appreciate it.